Hi everyone, this is Waylina, and I'm here to talk about free and open source software for planetarium content production. Welcome to FossDome. Today is Sunday, April 4th, 2021. Happy Easter, and this is episode 4, Open Source Astronomy Tools, Stellarium Desktop Software. First, I want everyone to know that show notes can be found on my blog, fossdome.com. I'll make sure to leave links for any software or tutorials mentioned in the episode. And if you like this episode and want to hear more like this, make sure to subscribe and rate it in your podcast listening software of choice. So what have I been up to lately? Well, my planetarium has, it's still closed to the public and school groups. It's been like that for over a year now. And I'm still working for a different department of the college. I still do what I can for the planetarium as time permits. I don't know for how long, but I heard just yesterday, I guess it was, that the planetarium is remaining closed through another summer. So we'll see what happens after that. Still working on the FossDome.com website, and I've set it up to include podcasts better. I've also submitted it to iTunes. Now, that was an adventure because the submission site was having some serious issues. But now it is evidently on iTunes. It's also on Google Podcasts. It should be on Spotify and Stitcher. On my phone, I use Pocket Casts, and I've got it set up there as well. So on to the main topic, open source astronomy tools, Stellarium Desktop Planetarium Software. Now, my original plan for this episode was to talk about 4, 5, or 6 different open source desktop planetarium software packages, but honestly, I ended up talking about Stellarium so much that I cut it off just there, and so that means future episodes will feature additional software packages. So what types of astronomy software packages are out there in the open source sphere? There are software packages for research, for visualization, for exploring data, for making sky maps, for viewing simulations of the sky, for finding out where the planets are right now, all kinds of things. And in many cases, there's overlap in what's provided by the various tools. One thing that has been kind of fun during the past year has been showing our audiences online what they can do with the tools that are available to them. And I hope that in the future we'll be able to use some of these in the Dome to encourage community participation. It'd be pretty awesome for someone in our community to put together something in one of these software packages and then we could share it in the Planetarium Dome itself. I think that'd be really neat. Some planetaria are set up to be able to project using alternative software, but that isn't in the cards for us anytime soon just because of our setup. So in general, when I talk about desktop planetarium software, I mean at a minimum exploring the night sky as seen from your location at any given date. I guess a potential bonus would be being able to select and focus on different types of data and possibly fly out to explore beyond the Earth, kind of like what we can do with our commercial software in the Dome. But I'm generally not talking about phone apps or desktop software that's exclusively meant for letting you run a telescope, although there is some overlap in that as well. Oh, and this is definitely not a set of reviews or rankings or anything. Anything I mention, I'm going to try and remember to put links in the show notes so that you can check them out for yourself. One of the nice things about free and open source software is that you can try all you like without the commitment of a purchase. Now, some software packages also have web interface versions. Some are only web interface versions, and others you need to download and install. Now, always get permission from the computer's owner before installing new software. at least make sure there's a full backup so that if you do mess up, you can restore the computer before your spouse needs to use it. Just kidding. I mean, you do want to be careful and make sure that you trust the software source before downloading and installing. So, you know, make sure to look at the checksums to compare, all that sort of thing. Okay. So, Stellarium, right? So after the year that we've had, most planetarium folks, if they didn't already have experience with Stellarium, they've gained experience with Stellarium. Early on, oh goodness, especially early on, you know, a year ago, when many planetariums were not only closed, but locked down, where you couldn't even go to the building or the facility at all, Stellarium was the only thing that many people had available as we all geared up to do online presentations. It makes for a decent enough night sky, and it has some good customizability. I love customizability, although I didn't get very far in trying to add custom constellations. In our dome, we do have quite a bit of custom constellation artwork, and just haven't been able to get that working in Stellarium. The process seemed straightforward enough, but I just couldn't get it to work, so I may give that another shot at some point. Kind of different in how I'm used to thinking of it, because it's not, the artwork isn't put in on a constellation by constellation basis the same way that we would in the dome. So if you've got three different ways of looking at the Big Dipper, one set of artwork, they call them sky cultures. So one culture would be a set of artworks. But you couldn't have five different dippers. You'd have to have different sky culture, and each of those dippers would be included in these different sky cultures. Now, I might be thinking about it wrong, and it may have changed in the last year, because it's probably been about a year since, well, no, less than a year, about 8 months since I've really tried to dig into it. But that's neither here nor there at this point. Just know that I tried and that I will try again, because I might get delayed, but I... I do tend to keep at it. It can get very frustrating. Yeah, but I keep at it. All right, so I did create some nice custom landscapes for Stellarium. One was just outside our planetarium entrance, one at the main entrance to Parkland College, and one at the Prairie Winds Observatory, home of our local astronomy club, the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society. I created the landscapes using wide field images, and then I used Hugin for the stitching and GIMP for the processing. I did describe the process in a blog post at the time, which I will link to in the show notes. And I will link to the GitHub repository where I'm currently storing the files if you'd like to try them out. And if I have to move them at some point from there, I'll try to leave a README to direct folks on how to get them. Now, even after this time, I am still not as fast with Stellarium as I should be. Eric, my planetarium director, is amazing with the Stellarium keyboard shortcuts. He'd been using Stellarium long before he came to work for us at the college as an astronomy instructor. Now, I'm just awful at Stellarium shortcuts, which is kind of hilarious because on Blender, I have always been about the shortcuts. You know, one hand on the keyboard, one hand on the mouse. It could be, though, that I'm just, you know, getting older, because with Blender, I still keep accidentally trying to use shortcuts from before the 2.80 Blender came out. So that had a lot of changes to the shortcuts. And although I could go in and manually change them back, part of what I do with Blender is show other people how to use it. So I need to be able to work with the defaults. So maybe that's it. Maybe I just didn't take to the Stellarium keyboard shortcuts because I'm just getting older. And so my muscle memory for shortcuts isn't what it used to be. Anyway, It may have been my trouble with shortcuts that led me to investigate controlling Stellarium through an HTML interface. And they are set up for that, so that you could control it from another computer, from a tablet. It was a lot of fun, and it helped me to get a feel for the Stellarium scripting as well. So that was bonus learning there. The HTML is fairly customizable, of course, but the files themselves are hard-coded into Stellarium. So you're really just modifying existing files, and that means you have to back up your files before you upgrade to a new version of Stellarium. Because if you upgrade to a new version of Stellarium, it will write over those HTML files, and you'll lose all the wonderful work that you did. With great power comes great responsibility. Now, I made a blog write-up last summer of setting up Stellarium for a remote interface, and I'll include that in the show notes as well. Now, there are ways that Stellarium can be used with some single projector typed planetarium projection setups, right? Our dome, though, is large. It's 50 foot in diameter, and we have to use two projectors, so it's not an option for us to experiment with. I think it would also be an awkward experience. At one point years ago, there was a fork of Stellarium called Nightshade that was made by planetarium vendor Digitalis Education Solutions, and it made a lot of improvements to Stellarium and was pretty awesome. But the more I've learned about Stellarium and delved into it myself and tried to figure out how to get it to do things that I want it to do as a planetarium educator, the more I understand why they developed, why Digitalis developed their own new next generation Nightshade. They developed it brand new from the ground up for use with their systems. Because the Stellarium development just isn't geared to be all things to all types of users. Oh, but for astronomy labs, for home use, for flat screen video, I can see it. And, you know, if I were running a low-budget single projector system, I'd give it a shot, because I love to tinker with stuff and see how far I can get with it, so I probably would. Oh, there have been some successful efforts to use Stellarium as a production tool for using it with video of planetarium presenters for 360-degree video star talks. Liz Klimek, planetarium manager at the South Carolina State Museum, worked with some folks last summer to produce some great material. They used Stellarium and After Effects. Now, inspired by that, I did create a setup using Blender instead of After Effects to achieve a similar effect, and I was able to get pretty close, but it was rather kludgy, and part of that is because the After Effects solution was set up so that the footage could easily be replaced without having to know much about After Effects. My Blender setup, however, required a lot of Blender knowledge to be able to even just replace simple footage. Now, I had to shelve my efforts on that when the college moved me to a different department. I just couldn't get the time to work on it. And I keep meaning to get back to it. We'll see. I just like finding free and open source software ways of doing cool stuff that I see other people doing with commercial software, but I digress. Stellarium can also be set up for controlling telescopes, but you know, I don't have any experience with that. Now, if you do, if you have experience with using Stellarium to control telescopes, go ahead, drop me a line as a comment on the blog or email me and let me know what you think of using Stellarium for telescope control, because I'm kind of interested in that. And if you want to look at what's up in the night sky, but you don't want to install Stellarium, although honestly most of us do have it installed at some point since it runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux. There is a web version, so you can run it in the web browser. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And it is fun to play around with. It doesn't have the features and there's no customizability really except for setting your location, but it is still fun to play around with. Well, I did have a lot more to say about Stellarium than I originally thought. It is a good, strong astronomy tool to have in your open source astronomy toolbox. I'll feature other software in future episodes, as there is a list to go through. I want to make sure to talk about Worldwide Telescope, OpenSpace, K-STARS, Gaia Sky, Carte du Ciel, ESA Sky, which uses Aladdin Sky Atlas, which is something good to know about on its own. There is just a lot of good stuff out there. Well, that does it for this week's show. Be sure to check out the show notes on my blog, currently available at fossdome.com. This has been fun. We should do it again next week. Till then, be well, be creative, and be free. Be Foss.